You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and James Millman with you on the latest edition, and we're looking ahead to action coming up on Wednesday. Loads to look forward to on Wednesday as well on Racing Radio. Bobby Beavers will be in the presenter's chair, joined by Ross Briley and Chris Pimlott for Wincanton, Musselburgh, Southall and Kempton. Wincanton, the High Five meeting as well on Wednesday. Mr. Millman, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Dunn.
Are you well?
Not too bad. A little bit croaky.
Oh, are you?
As you might imagine.
Why is that?
I just had to do too much talking recently.
Is that the case?
On a day off, I don't normally say anything. So a few days' work, it's proved costly. So Sunday, anyone that was listening Sunday, there wasn't much voice when I was presenting on Sunday. But luckily, Bobby Beavers stepped in for the last half an hour.
So oh, did he?
That's helpful.
Nice of him. Okay. We are going to discuss a couple of races at Kempton shortly. I just want to start by talking very briefly about the Musselburgh card. And I can see James immediately panicking.
The eyes are starting to go, but carry on.
No, just the fact that Donald McCain has runners, which is good news because he copped a lot of flack, basically, and some of it was, well, most of it was pretty unjustified because he did everything he could, really, within his powers to stop the spread of equine influenza and, in hindsight, did exactly the right thing.
Yes. The vets diagnosed some of his horses as having equine flu. He alerted BHA literally as soon as he found out, and I think that was about 9 o'clock in the evening. Mm. And they made a prompt decision to stop racing for 6 days. Now, the problem with Donald was the fact he could have wiped out everybody. He had a runner at Wolverhampton,
yeah.
So that was the whole all-weather string of all trainers. Ayr, so that was Scotland and Ireland, possibly wiped out. And Ludlow, he had the Midlands horses and the West Country horses. Mm. So with just three horses, he managed to potentially, if it had been really infectious, it could have spread all the way around. Now, actually, there's been a case in one of the French racing stables in Chantilly yesterday evening.
Okay.
Came out. So I'm not sure how that will play out over in France. But they've got a lot more data now from testing all these racehorses. And touch wood, luckily, it appeared that the Air Horse Razor Spark that ran that day, he had equine flu.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't actually infect any other horse that went to Air on that day. So that was obviously a big positive.
Mm.
The Four Simon Crisford horses, no possible interaction between those horses that could have caused the spread. So I think it looks as if it was perhaps a bit of an overreaction from the BHA, but at the time they didn't have all the facts.
Mm.
Subsequently, it's a 6-month flu booster vaccinations, which
yes.
I think they've made the wrong decision there, and it's affected a lot of trainers. We're nearly past that spell now. Frustrating for a lot of trainers that a vaccine which is effective for 14 to 15 months suddenly say it's only 6 months. I'm not quite sure how that works. But either way, it's happened. They've made a decision. We've been racing, 2 weeks now, 2 weeks tomorrow. And it is what it is.
We're going to talk about one of your dad's horses in just a moment. How did it affect your yard?
Well, we only have one hurdler,
yeah,
which is Champagne Champ. So he was due to run at Wincanton on end of January.
Mm-hmm.
Frost claimed that one. So when the BHA sent a little email saying, oh, we'd recommend that any horse that hasn't had a booster in 6 months have one. But if you do that, you can't run them in a week.
Yeah.
And generally, when you give a flu vac, you give them an easy week, you run about 3 to 4 weeks later. So Dad looked at it, thought, OK, we'll wait till he runs, and then we'll give it to him after that. Next weekend, he had three entries. Obviously, the racing shut down, so he missed all of those.
Mm-hmm.
He was due to go again on a Saturday when it started, 6 month ban, so he couldn't go. So he had 3 weeks where he couldn't run, and then we had to give him the flu vac, and he ran a little bit as though it affected him a little bit at Kempton on Saturday when he had his first run back. But we only had one, luckily,
yeah,
whereas Nicky Henderson's got 180, and a lot of his horses have had that. And I was at Kempton Angels Breath, looked very tired in the winner's enclosure when he finished second in his trial. It's very hard to quantify. It affects some horses a lot. Other horses, not a problem. A bit like if you have a flu jab as a human, you feel a bit rough for 48 hours afterwards. Same with a horse, but they can't tell you on a scale of 1 to 10 how rough they're feeling.
Yeah.
So I think when we first started racing and those they had that jab straight away, there was quite a few short price favourites that are disappointed. And we don't know, but you could, if you train that horse, you'd say, look, it might well have been that. Don't worry about it too much. But if you've got lots of Chutton horses, it's an important time. It's a bit of a stressful time.
Are there specific dates that your team, your father's team, are they bulk vaccinated?
So you've got to get a vet in to get the flu jab. Mm-hmm. So obviously every time you get a vet in, it costs money. So what we do with all of ours, all get done on 24th of December.
No way. Right.
Because the staff aren't in over the Christmas period, so all the horses, unless they're running during Boxing the first week of January, etc., they're all off. So they've all got their quiet week, and then the flat horses are running in the summer, will come into training on the 2nd of January.
Yeah.
And then they've had a quiet week, and they're only walk trotting, so there's no stress. And when they're all done the same day, you're not going to risk forgetting one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which, yes, I know we're professional operations. You've all, like in our office, we've got a date of any horses that aren't in that 31st of, end of December batch. It will say when it is. But when you're stressed, you've got one horse that needs a flu vac when you don't normally get a vet in, it is easily missed. And you do see horses go to the races and their flu vacs aren't up to date. So it's just, A, it's to make it easier, cheaper, and just make it more efficient as such.
Just once a year?
Just once a year. But because we're mostly flat, a little bit like humans again, horses tend to get the virus in the winter months.
Yeah.
So for us as a flat trainer, we don't tend to get it in the summer as such. The issue will be in another new 6 months. I think you find a lot of jump trainers now will just shut down in January because they've got to give them, if they're going to continue to have the 6 months. Not so easy on the flat because every single month there's a big meeting. Whereas in a jump race, and you can shut down in January because the ground's very heavy generally, and there's not a big race as such a target. Whereas a flat, you've got Rod Ascot, Glorious Goodwood, York, all these meeting time after each other. So it's going to make it a little bit difficult if they continue with a 6 month rule.
In the last couple of weeks, since racing's come back, you mentioned Champagne Champs run at Kempton was maybe a little below par. But you've had two winners, Lady Wolf and Singing the Blues. Grazie ran another creditable second. Bonneville ran fairly well as well and finished in fourth at Lingfield. Things are looking up. You've had a decent February.
Yeah, although all three, Lady Wolf, Grazie and Singing the Blues, were all nearly favourite for races on the Thursday and the Saturday of the initial shutdown.
Okay.
Lady Wolf in particular, we targeted this one race for 6 weeks and that was the day it got shut down, so we were not happy. She then ran too far a trip. Kempton didn't quite stay. Luckily won at Chelmsford the other day. Singing the Blues, who runs at Kempton tomorrow, he won nicely under Pat. And Grazie didn't quite handle Savile, but he still ran well, finishing second.
We're going to talk about two races at Kempton tomorrow, starting with the 7:30, which is a Class 6 handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs, just a couple of yards shy of that anyway. And there's only one place to start, that is Singing the Blues, who, as James mentioned, arrives here off the back of a win. Now, James, if anyone is going to stick the knife into Pat Longman, it's going to be
regular listeners
you.
Will know
yes.
that I'm very happy to give some stick.
I think Pat's a fine jockey, much better than his brother was. Ooh. But
you're too young to remember me riding, Alex Dunn.
I remember you getting chinned on one at Ripon when I backed against it. But anyway.
Bendy Potter, our old boss,
yes.
will constantly remind me of the day the Ripon crowds were not happy when the Icebuster got beat.
Yes.
But never mind.
Anyway, Pat Millman's not riding it. Oisin Murphy is. And whoever you ask, Oisin Murphy's better than Pat Millman. Sorry, Pat.
He is in the relation of the two standards, but an amateur to a professional. And fair play to Pat. He did give him a good ride Wolverhampton. There was a lot of suspect rides. A lot of jockeys were either out of control, very, very wide, or not really perhaps riding most efficiently. And Pat got him out the stalls. He was a bit keen, which is what he can do, and kicked clear and ended up winning a little bit too easily. So he's had to run under a 6 pound penalty on the back of that win. Mm-hmm. We've got Oisin, which is a big plus because on a couple of occasions, he's just got too far behind at Kempton, not being given the greatest of rides. And Glad to have O'Sheen on him, which will be a big positive. He's not the easiest, but he's better than his mark as long as everything goes right. And unfortunately, it hasn't gone right because he's a little bit of a tricky customer. He was quite difficult, and Pat actually rides him every day at home because he's not the easiest to deal with. So hopefully he's getting there. Not a great race. He's drawn seven, which I think is a nice enough draw around Kempton. And I'm hopeful he'll go very close to following up.
The danger, would it be maybe Zamperini, who ran well last time out? You've got Colt Harbour down the bottom as well.
Now, he's interesting.
Precious Little, and then all of a sudden bounced into life last time.
When they do suddenly get a win off a basement mark, it can be they've finally clicked on what's happening and he might well improve. And I'd say the £6 penalty, if you look at his Wolverhampton run, yeah, he would have carried £6 easily on that occasion, but he has got beat off lower marks.
This is your
yeah. So it's an interesting race. I think he will get the double up. I'll be quite hopeful. But Zamperini's another one that could go well. Ely Boy's another one consistent. So it's a typical class 6 handicap where there's quite a lot to consider, but I'm hoping Singing the Blues is going to be a little bit better in this level.
Okay. The 8:30 is the other race that James wanted to talk about. 7 furlongs the trip for this 8:30 contest. Division 2 of the 7 furlong handicap. And again, a few of these arrive here in decent form, but unfortunately, James, the majority don't.
No, I'm going to go for one that hasn't got the greatest form figures in the world. More salutes for Michael Atwater, but for the first time in ages, he's actually got a decent draw in stall 3. Now, Kempton recently, Alex, you've got to be on the inside rail. If you're stuck 2-3 wide, A, you appear to be on a slower ground as well as taking the wider trip. And he's had lots of double figure draws recently. He was better drawn last time, but still got stuck wide, I think too wide, around the home bend. And I still thought he ran well. He's caught the eye on quite a few occasions. Now, Rob Hornby rides. He rode Lady Wolf to success. He's a jockey who I quite like. He rides well. And this horse dropped another pound for that better fifth last time. He's dropped eight in his last three starts when they haven't been bad runs. He's just been very, very badly drawn. So I thought he was interesting. One, he will actually be in my nap tomorrow.
Okay.
I think probably Singing the Blues will be a little bit too short.
You get a fair price on More Salutes as well.
I would imagine
because
so.
Because on the face of it, the form fingers aren't particularly inspiring. Doesn't appear to be going the right way. Having just looked, actually, I must confess, I'm not... wasn't an avid fan of the horse. I don't know the whys and wherefores. He's still a full horse, aged 4 at a class 6 handicap. You don't get many of them to the pound.
You don't, and that might be because there's reasons why you can't geld him, perhaps.
Ooh.
Like you get rigs and stuff like that. Okay. So it may just be you wouldn't keep a horse like that as a
no,
a
you wouldn't have thought
breed
so.
From.
No,
I wouldn't think. Okay. That's just surmising. But either way, like I say, I've kept an eye on him a couple of times. He's actually not run that badly from awful draws. It was better last time. Down to 50. John 3 should be a lovely draw in the rail. I thought he was interesting.
Okay. Interesting then. So James, a fan of his runner in the 7:30, but would go nap about More Salutes at a bigger price, most likely in the 8:30 contest. All weather action coming up from Kempton Park then on Wednesday evening, along with Musselburgh, Sutherland, and Wincanton through the course of the afternoon. James, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It has. Thank you very much, Alex Dunn.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.